More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Tyke. Our film contributor Dave Lurson has seen more movies than he could probably count from every genre you can imagine. But Lurson, who is arts and entertainment editor at the Shepherd Express newspaper, turns to the history of one distinct variety of film for his new book. War on the Silver Screen, Shaping America's Perception of History, is co-written with UW-Milwaukee history professor Glenn Johnson. It looks at a century's worth of war films, from World War I through the War on Terror, and contends that the movies have often had a more lasting effect on the American psyche than the wars themselves. Lurson tells Lake Effect's Dan Harmon how he decided what qualified as a war movie.
I defined a war movie very broadly. I mean, the book includes the, I guess you could say, traditional combat type movies, hand-to-hand combat, units of tanks clashing in the desert, that type of thing. But I think war is bigger than simply that, and there have been many fine movies that have depicted war in other dimensions.
Something that I found interesting was that not all wars are created equal, nor are films about war. It seems like, for example, almost all the movies about World War II are either positive or, you know, they're not necessarily positive, being a loose way to put it, but
right.
They show the war in terms that aren't against the war per se, like you would with almost every Vietnam movie there is very anti-Vietnam War. There's no positive movies about that war.
There was one.
Okay.
The Green Berets, which I did. I think I name-checked it very quickly. But, right. Yeah, I mean, the war movies reflect public attitudes about the war during the time the war is being fought. And in the case of the Vietnam movies and the aftermath of it, because there were very few movies about Vietnam made while the U.S. was actually engaged in combat. In fact, there was a gap of a couple of years before we started seeing important Vietnam War movies. But obviously, World War II was a completely different thing. The only Americans who opposed the war after Pearl Harbor were extreme right-wing supporters of Hitler, essentially. So they weren't making movies. No movies were made reflecting their points of view. So World War II truly unified America. And Vietnam, by contrast, was a war that divided America and left the American people with a sense of bewilderment, a sense of defeat, a sense of what just happened here. So very, very much a contrast in terms of how those wars were depicted.
For World War II movies, was there any room for dissent amongst filmmakers at the time? I mean,
no.
That would have been really risky.
Well, it would have been very risky, but also genuinely, I don't believe that there was dissent against the war. There was Lou Ayres was a famous conscientious objector, and his career was badly damaged by this decision. And he, even after Pearl Harbor was bombed, he volunteered to serve in an ambulance unit. So even conscientious objectors, you know, ended up serving in the war. Even children and women at home, as we well know, Rosie the Riveter and so on, you know, the great mass of the American people were engaged in the war, kids walking around the neighborhood gathering scrap tin cans for recycling. They're really, aside from a few pro-Nazi groups, there was no opposition.
Would you say Hollywood had a role in the war? I mean, it doesn't seem like there was an editorial detachment, if you will. I mean, they weren't making journalistic movies. I mean, all these were dramas about war, so they didn't really have to. But what if Hollywood didn't make these movies during World War II? What do you think would have happened? Would support have been different in some way?
I think it's inconceivable that Hollywood wouldn't have made the movies that Hollywood made during that time. Many Hollywood actors volunteered for service, even though they didn't have to volunteer in most cases. Many directors enlisted in the Signal Corps and made, you know, documentaries about the war or served in some other kind of capacity. There was a great deal of very active cooperation between the Hollywood studios and the federal government. If Hollywood had not made this, I mean, I think there would have been an outcry. But again, it's inconceivable because the people in the Hollywood industry at all levels, from the moguls who own the studios to bit part actors, I think their attitude reflected the attitude of America as a whole, which is that the country was genuinely threatened by forces that could have defeated the U.S. at the time, that would have imposed systems that were inimical to anybody's idea of American values.
What do you think changed from World War II in regards to film that changed things, changed our view about war in the time? Is it quite simply just the popularity of the conflict? The next one being the Korean War.
Well, the Korean War, of course, is the missing war, the forgotten war. And I touch on that in the book, too, because interestingly, I don't believe there is a great Korean War movie in the sense of one that's both aesthetically good. There are a number of really good Korean War movies, but they don't have large audiences. They did not really have large audiences, particularly at the time. The one big Korean War movie I can think of, Bridges of Tokoree, was not a very good movie, so I didn't want to include that. So there was something about Korea. It was not really a popular war. It was greeted with a resigned shrug, I believe, by the American public. People returning from it, grumbled. I mean, I have my own experience of uncles who served in the war, and they were not very happy to have been there. But they did their bit. And I think that's some of this, if I could put it as lack of complete enthusiasm for this war, may have been picked up in the way Hollywood handled it. I mean, they made movies about it, but not a lot of real four-star kind of pictures aimed at wide audiences.
Before we get too far away from the wars that had popular support, I want to talk about, or I want you to talk about Alfred Hitchcock and his movie, the Saboteur movie. Is certainly worth a mention, right? I mean,
definitely one of my favorite Alfred Hitchcock movies. I originally thought I was going to write about Lifeboat. Lifeboat was the Hitchcock movie set entirely on a lifeboat after a merchant ship had been torpedoed by a U-boat, and there was one German sailor from the U-boat that somehow got on board the lifeboat, and it was a microcosm of different people from America, the Allied cause, squabbling, trying to figure out how to survive against the odds. And that would have been a very fine choice, but Saboteur is just a favorite film of mine. And Saboteur is also very interesting for picking up something about the anxiety of life on the home front shortly after the U.S. entered the war. The movie was filmed very rapidly after Pearl Harbor. It was released right around the time that Japanese Americans were being interned in camps. There was a sense in America that there could be a so-called fifth column of traitors and subversives and pro-fascist elements, which indeed, there were a minority of people, but there were some of these people out there. And the movie touches on those anxieties with a lot of wonderful Hitchcock touches. It's in a way a typical Hitchcock story, the wrong man fleeing both the police who are after him and the bad guys who, he has to try to track them down and prove that they did it, not him.
And this was released during the war, yes?
Oh, yeah. Shortly after America entered the war. So there was, I think, for an audience at the time, a real palpable sense of this movie is mirroring our unease about what might be happening here inside the United States.
Do you think it mirrored unease, or do you think it may have fanned the flames? And I guess that question applies to a lot of the movies that were made during World War II.
Well, maybe a little bit of both. I mean, I guess you could accuse it of fanning anxiety, but it's a great question because in a time of crisis, should artists of all kinds, whether writers, filmmakers, musicians, choose not, or to what extent should they choose not to address subjects that are unpleasant in connection with the crisis at hand? And if you do it, are you actually in some way worsening, the situation perhaps? It certainly, I don't think, was Hitchcock's intent to do that. But I don't know of any way of documenting whether what would be an example of if people were falsely accused of being Nazi sympathizers because of that movie. I don't know of anything like that. But of course, it's possible it could have happened.
A related question to me, anyway, is that a lot of the movies in your book came out before social media, before the internet was all the rage, and reaction could be immediate. So I'm wondering how that was dealt with then. I mean, these were, in some cases, the only window into what was going on in the war, or maybe the reels that were attached, you know, at the beginning before the movie. So I'm wondering if that was seen as a responsibility of filmmakers at the time, that what they're putting on film is the view that people are going to get aside from the newspaper, the only one aside from the newspaper.
Right. I mean, they had a sense of responsibility toward for America's victory. Hollywood saw itself as, and I think it was even defined by the federal government as, an essential war industry. So there were no bones made about that during World War II. Hollywood had an important part to play in bucking up morale. And if there were, you know, a minor key note, if there was any of that, it was very much marginally. There was a movie, another home front movie, Since You Went Away was the name of it, which was a bit of a melodrama about a wife and her daughter. Her husband had been called up to service, and the hardships to some degree that they confronted. It's almost blink and you'll miss it, but there's a reference to black marketeering real quickly in this movie and a couple of other things like that. But again, for the most part, it made the challenges of life under rationing and housing shortages look like an adventure more than, you know, a problem.
I ask about that because then, you know, the first televised war, or at least the one that gets credit for it, Vietnam, films had to now compete with television, maybe not necessarily live television, but it was certainly more immediate than right. a film.
Well, and even more so now with the internet and the 24/7 news cycle. I do make a remark under the chapter War on Terror that there's a great likelihood that movies will not play as important a role in the future as they did in the past in helping Americans remember and define and think about the wars we are engaged in. Because I think in the case of the War on Terror, there are a couple of a very interesting movies that found audiences. And I mentioned them, United 93 and Zero Dark 30 and The Hurt Locker. But those movies do not occupy as much mental space as even Apocalypse Now and some of the great movies coming after Vietnam, because I think that nowadays so much of what we think about the news is being defined by all of these, you know, various sources of information, so-called, in some cases so-called, that come at us from a variety of directions. Nowadays, movies are just one component among a great many ways that people have to think about reality.
Well, the list of three you just mentioned makes me think about war movies that we don't really think are war movies anymore. I mean, you mentioned one earlier, the big one, Schindler's List. I don't know if I ever viewed it as a war movie per se. I viewed it as very compelling and interesting to watch. And I'm wondering if War on Terror movies, you know, just provides now a setting rather than we could actually call it a war movie.
Well, that could happen. There were a number of very mediocre movies, not too many, but several mediocre War on Terror movies that came out where I think they were exactly what you just said. It was convenient. Oh, there's a conflict going on right now. We'll put stock Hollywood characters into it and do a three-act melodrama. On the other hand, though, United 93, which to me is the great movie about 9/11, the great non-documentary movie about 9/11, even though it uses a lot of documentary-style techniques. Is that a war movie? Well, I included it because it was a mirror of the event that triggered the War on Terror. So to me, I mean, it counts as a war movie.
I'm just wondering if that is something that you had to wrestle with, that some people aren't used to seeing some of these as war movies, even though they are.
Well, I think that there's not much point in writing a book without being at least mildly challenging to preconceptions. And if I did a little bit of that, I feel like I'm successful.
Well, Dave, it was certainly an interesting book. Thank you for coming in to talk about it.
Thank you.
Dave Lurson's new book, written with Glenn Johnson, is called War on the Silver Screen, Shaping America's Perception of History, published by Potomac Books and the University of Nebraska Press. Lurson, who is our regular film contributor, spoke with Dan Harmon. A new album reflects a new reality for Milwaukee musician Hayward Williams. He'll talk about it, and we'll hear some songs from it when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.